We've been friends a long time. We can discuss anything, right?
Sure, bud.
Well, I have an issue.
No kidding. You cheer for Boston.
An issue down there?
Hey, half of all guys experience erectile dysfunction. Heard of Felix? Felix connects you to a doctor for an assessment. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations. Treatment is delivered discreetly to your door.
Sounds great.
I just wish you'd be more discreet about wearing that Boston jersey in Toronto.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. It's a Wednesday. We're halfway through the week. Alek Manoah is going to be on the mound on Friday afternoon.
Love it.
It's all good. Yeah, we're feeling good. Everyone knew that was coming. Alek Manoah, game one starter. We love it.
Buddy, yeah. I think before my last show of last season, I said by the end of the year, he'll be the ace and the starter in the playoff. Do we have the clip? We got to have the clip. I said it. And Someone on Twitter was so generous to say, find the clip and show it to the fraud Hayes so he knows what you meant.
Okay,
where was Hayes's head at, though? Where were you at? You weren't
I'm sure I was thinking the same way. No, of course not. It was Manoah or Gosman at that point. But two things. One,
you
just
were.
Call
you were
for
like Barrios. You were like Barrios.
I was not Barrios by
Gosman.
July. Not
Here's
by June
Kikuchi.
Or July.
Anyway, Kikuchi. I called it, you didn't, and the guy even knows you're a fraud on Twitter.
Fine, there you go. You called it. But two things on this. One, you can't call for a random clip from 3 months ago as if that's just sitting there waiting to be
You
played.
Know why I asked for it, Hayes, is because when I said, Grappler, save this clip.
Okay. Well, then that's on the Grappler, I guess. We can have a conversation with him. But
and I will say this about your takes. My contractor, Alex, agrees with he. I told him we were putting up a TV, and I said, let me ask you something because he's a Jays fan. I said, the third day, would you toss out Barrios or would you go with chicken strips? And he laughed at me. He goes, not even a question. Throw out strips. And I
not
said,
the third day?
What?
Yeah, the general public understands what's going on here. You'll notice they only announced the game one starter. I don't think that's a coincidence. They don't have to. They didn't even really have to do that. But you might as well promote it, get out in front of it, because, you know, people were wondering, will Manoah pitch today? And clearly that's not going to happen. Right. So he will go game one. But there's a chance Gosman is safe for game three. We just know Gosman is going one of game two or game three. He is a part of that program. But, yeah, I get the impression, like, there is little to no support for the idea of Barrios pitching. Like, none. Except for maybe Atkins and company making that decision. But
well, I tried to explain my point to Alex, my contractor. I'm like, what if Barrios is good? And he just went to the opposite with the pessimistic approach, saying, what if he's a gas cannon at 6-2 in the second inning like we've seen a bunch of times this year?
Right. Yeah.
And I said, I get it. But Ross Atkins, you grab the ball and you hand it to him and you say, the 150 sheets – it's for today. Go out there and don't disappoint.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. I guess, you know, listen, we'll find out soon. Let's hope it doesn't get to a point where they have to worry about game three. And I think the Jays are lucky that they're playing Seattle in terms of getting some respect from the TV schedule. Have you seen the Cleveland-Tampa TV schedule? It's like 12:07, 12:07, 4:07 on Sunday, which is actually worse on the Sunday, because that means you're going up against Cowboys-Rams. No one's watching baseball on Sunday. Like, no one in the U.S. is watching baseball unless you're in that individual market and you're a big fan of whatever team is playing. Clearly, the NFL is going to dominate. So because the Jays are playing Seattle, I think they lucked out, because I think they probably would have gone at 12 because, you know, we know ESPN makes the call. The TV networks make the call, and Toronto doesn't count in the ratings, so we always get squeezed. But because they're playing a team on the Pacific Coast, it's a 4 o'clock start Friday and Saturday, and then a 2 o'clock start on Sunday if need be. So there you go. A little respect for the Jays down in the U.S.
Let's just hope it doesn't get to that Sunday's game, because I think there's going to be a lot of arguing whether it's Barrios or chicken strips. And if you're on that Sunday's game, boy, like that's...
It'll be nerve-wracking, man.
Of course.
It'll be a nervous weekend for sure. But, hey, listen, the Jays have done what they're supposed to do. Scott Mitchell will join us here in a moment. Scotty with a tweet that actually matters. that with them losing the earlier game today, they will likely go under the number.
Actually matters is tweets like have all been garbage leading up until then.
No, I didn't mean it that way. What I'm saying is he's talking about the season win total.
Oh.
Because a lot of people were betting on whether they would win more than 92.5 games, and because they lost this morning, that's not going to happen. So there were a lot of gamblers probably watching this doubleheader in Baltimore saying, you got to win. The over, you're right on the number, and now they're going to end up under the number. So Scotty will join us here in a moment. There's a lot going on. Maybe Steve Ballmer could be hired to come into the Blue Jay clubhouse on Friday and give a little pep talk.
Dude, what is before up with the that game. Guy? He's What's like the weird uncle on a vacation in Cancun that's just got six beers and some margaritas in him, and he just starts yelling at the pool.
He has one level in terms of tone, and it's hyper, it's active, it's loud, it's obnoxious, it's over the top, and he's a Seattle kid who obviously now owns the Clippers, and he is the richest individual owner in sports, I believe. Maybe this Walmart character out in Denver passed him, because I think the Walmarts might have more money. But Ballmer's worth, what is it, $100 billion, whatever
it is. Yeah, it's gross. It's gross, yeah.
So the Clippers were playing up in Seattle, and, of course, Ballmer had to address the crowd, right? Like, that's totally natural for an owner to come out and speak to the crowd. Honestly, like, they want to hear from Steve Ballmer.
Who annoys you more, Ballmer or Foley in Vegas, the guy with the helicopter?
Probably. I don't know if they bother me necessarily.
Annoy is the wrong word.
It's not that they annoy me. It's that they have to be in the front of it all, right?
Right.
It's like Jerry Jones. It's the same thing. I get it. If I own a team, Mark Cuban, if you own a team, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
I thought the Bill Foley stuff in Vegas, a little bit goofy with the helicopter. Like, all right, fine. And then Steve Ballmer, the same thing. Like, if you bought a ticket to that game in Seattle, why do you care to hear from the owner of the Clippers?
Right.
And doesn't it feel like a troll job that you used to have a team and it got ripped away from you, and now this guy's bringing his L.A. team up there?
I am so excited!
All right, so there's a little tease. Do you want to hear, awesome, like, the 20 seconds of this guy trying to get the crowd fired up about being back in Seattle? All right, here's Steve Ballmer last night.
I am so excited to have a game in my hometown of Seattle, Washington!
That is awesome.
I am so excited to see Climate Pledge Arena, this fantastic building, light up tonight.
Like, what a lunatic this guy is. He's so excited. I think he'd react that way if you handed him, you know, a Kit Kat bar. So there you go, Steve. How do you feel about that?
But the fans are going to be like, okay, it's one game, bud. Like, and then you guys are leaving, getting on your private jet and going to Southern California. Like, we like seeing you guys, but you're gone. And it's a thank you very much.
But isn't it, like, isn't that the legendary, like, him on the stage back in the day with Bill Gates and them, like, they're all kids, and he's, like, dancing and yelling and screaming, and it's like a...
That was Windows 95, I think,
yeah,
when they
the
were
best, though.
Unveiling,
like,
Windows 95.
Right? Unbelievable. But, like, that guy's been doing it for decades.
That's his whole M.O. Noodles.
It's
is
awesome.
Like, he's clearly... This, I don't think he sleeps. I don't, you know, I think it's 100% natural, and he's just yelling and excited.
Yeah. That guy can tell. That guy does not sleep.
No.
No way.
He doesn't sleep, and he's always excited. Always. Yeah. Like, catching him in a down period is impossible. It's never happened before.
I think it's cool because he's passionate about his team. We've talked about this before. Like, this guy just writes a check for anything. Like, you know, get out of the way. I'll buy the building, and let's figure it out after that. Like, that's, I like that his fandom, like he wears it on his sleeve. And, yeah, sometimes is it over the top? Certainly. We just saw it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as a player, I don't know, as a player on his team, you have to kind of go, man, this guy's all in. Like, you know, Kawhi must look at him and roll his eyes. But ultimately, this guy's paying Kawhi a fortune to sit in street clothes for 2 years. Really?
Oh, yeah. They're going to go up against the cap or into the luxury tax with ease. Like,
yeah,
that's never going to be an issue for the Clippers. But
right.
I can't get over the fact that he's from Seattle, so he would understand that they had a basketball team for a long time.
I know. Sean Kemp was the star there.
Right. Like, it'd be one thing if he brought this, you know, his team to, like, a small town in Nebraska.
Right.
And it's like, I'm so excited. The NBA is in my little dinky town. but it's Seattle, and they ripped the hearts out of Seattle Supersonic fans. And here's Ballmer, who's moved to L.A. and bought the Clippers, and he thinks he's doing such a great charity by bringing them back up there for the night. But I do think this would play pretty well. You fly Steve Ballmer in, clubhouse, about 3:45 Friday afternoon down at the Rogers Center. Let's hear it one more time, JP. Let's hear Steve Ballmer, and just close your eyes and pretend as if he's saying this about the Blue Jays and the idea of them going on a World Series run.
Excited to have a game in my hometown of Seattle, Washington!
Like, nobody says Seattle, Washington like that.
I am so excited to see Climate Pledge Arena, this fantastic building, light up tonight!
Like, he loves the building. He's excited about the building.
The building is spectacular. I will say,
it sounds like it's a great building.
The building is amazing. Like but still, it is just it's over the top. I kind of love it. Like, I would love to hear. What would you like to hear him do? So it's the Blue Jays speech. What else could he introduce us?
Wouldn't that be something? He'd be so excited for 4 o'clock every day for us to come on the air. He's
excited about Overdrive.
Yeah. I think that'd be worthy of an investment.
The Al's brother, Luke Wilson, O-Dog run.
Whatever the pick is every single night, like on a Thursday or Monday night, he's excited for that. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of possibilities. I think, again, he gets excited about a lot of different things.
Exactly.
But anyway, Scott Mitchell will join us here in a moment from Baltimore as we've got some details on when the Jays are going to play, who they're going to play, who's on a mount game one, where they go from there. Aaron Judge pretty excited last night after he finally got to home run 62. And credit to him, man. Now he can sit back and just smile and say, I did it. Like, 62, so a Yankee record. And that's ultimately what this is all about, is it's Judge is a superstar that everyone knows, and it's the Yankees, which is the number one brand in sports, or certainly in baseball. And it doesn't matter about Bonds, Sosa, McGuire. Everyone's having a debate on whether or not this is the real home run record or whatever.
It's not a bad thing, Hayes, to have in your back pocket, though, as to be known as the one guy. But I don't get too excited about that because I thought A-Rod was clean, too. We've already been through this.
Yeah, we've been through this.
But to say, like, he could legitimately be the only guy to do it the right way, I think that's a nice thing when you're sitting on your porch when you're retired having a coffee to have, like, have in your memory bank that you were the guy to do it.
Absolutely, and he's going to get a lot of people that are supporting that. But the fact is, I witnessed it. We all saw it. Bonds hit 73. Whether you like it or not, it happened. He hit him.
Yeah.
And McGuire and Sosa, as cool as this run has been, it pales in comparison to 98. It's not even close. The hype of 98 with McGuire and Sosa was times 20. Times 50.
Yep. I know. The vibe on this was like, oh, I'm glad he got it.
And yeah, then, exactly. Okay. It was more relief. Like, all right, awesome. Some guy gets it. Some guy caught the ball. Another guy jumped into the dugout or the ball.
I respect the guy who jumped into the dugout. The guy who caught the ball, he seemed like a hero.
He's loaded, too. That's the problem. I think he's got a ton of money. That's what it was. I was reading online. It sounds like he's some VP for a big hedge fund or something. He's worth a fortune. And he caught the ball last night. Anyway, let's head down to Baltimore. Here's our TSN Blue Jay reporter, Scott Mitchell. How do you compare this kind of race for Judge to 62, Scotty, to that of Sosa, McGuire, and what we witnessed back in 98?
Yeah, I mean, I'll side with you on this one. I think, you know, it pales in comparison and, you know, kind of muted, to be honest. I mean, the fact that, you know, he's a New York Yankee and, you know, it wasn't really kind of the top story every single day and kind of shoved down everyone's throats is surprising. But, I mean, you know, it couldn't happen to a better guy. I mean, Aaron Judge, you talk to anyone in New York and very gracious with the media, obviously demanding there. And, you know, it's a guy that, you know, has done everything kind of the right way. And, you know, you see his mom there. And I think it's a great story for baseball and, you know, it's a great debate because I hate comparing eras as it is. You can't even look at Babe Ruth and compare him to Shohei Ohtani just with what's going on. So I think that's a tough debate at the best times. But, you know, free agency is going to be the interesting thing when it comes to Aaron Judge.
Oh, yeah, no question about that. And that's right around the corner. But the Yankees, you know, they're into the playoffs. We know that. They're sitting pretty in the AL alongside Houston. And now we know the four teams that are going to be playing on the AL side of things with the wild card, including Toronto's bracket, and that will be against Seattle starting Friday, 4:07 first pitch in Toronto. Alek Manoah getting a ball game one. We've known this forever. Like, this was the formality, wasn't it, Scotty? It's what they do with Gausman and who they choose between Stripling and Berríos. Like, that's the real question beyond game one.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was pretty obvious that, you know, they wanted Manoah going game one. And the reason you line him up for today originally is just what happened last year, because you just never know what situation you're going to be in. And, you know, as we kind of crept down through this last week, you kind of saw the writing on the wall of what was going to happen. And, yeah, look, I think Gausman's going to go game two. And, yeah, the decision is going to be game three. And, you know, they're not tipping their hand at all. And I think, you know, part of it's just a little bit of mind games right now. I mean, you know, it's turned kind of into football in terms of preparation and how much, you know, these organizations do behind the scenes in terms of, you know, looking at pitchers and hitters' tendencies. And, you know, I think really you just don't want to tell the Seattle Mariners and give them, you know, a couple extra days of real, you know, solid prep work. I mean, it's pretty obvious they know what the options are and kind of what's going to happen probably. But, yeah, I mean, look, that game one Friday night's everything. And if you lose that one with Manoah on the hill, you're really having your back up against the wall. And if you win that one, you're in a pretty good position with, you know, probably, you know, what a lot of people would consider your co-ace in Gausman go on Saturday.
If you had to submit all three games, let's say it's going to go to three games, and
do
you're the
right
skip.
Thing, Scotty.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask him. If you're the skip and you've got to submit all three starters today, what does that look like? And what is your day three starter, your Sunday starter look? Is it Berríos or is it chicken strips? Or are you going one of those two in the middle and Gausman on the Sunday?
Yeah, interesting question. I kind of asked around if maybe they would hold Gausman to game three. It doesn't sound like that's the case, and I don't think that would be the play because he's clearly been your second-best starter and at times your best starter this season. And, you know, I don't think you want to mess around in a short series like that. But, you know, I'm probably the outlier in this. I'm going to start Berríos if it were up to me. I like the situation of Stripling's ability to pitch out of the bullpen, his comfortable, you know, nature with that coming out of the pen. I'm just not trusting Stripling to go 5+. And he's only thrown 90+ pitches twice this year. It's tough. It's tough. I get O-Dog. You're a big Strip guy, but...
No, Scotty, I just like to commend you because I told these other two guys that Berríos was paid, and sometimes money is not a factor. You just want the best guy. But the big argument is, and what I said yesterday, is Berríos' best stuff gives you a really good chance to win. But he can also be a gas can, and you can be down 6-2 in the second inning. But it's a coin flip, and I think I'm willing to take the chance of the stud ace pitcher material.
And look, that's kind of where I sit on it. I just look at their roles over the course of their careers. And, you know, if you're not starting Berríos in that game, he's pretty much not pitching in the series. And he did say the other night that, you know, he's willing to pitch in whatever role they give him. And, you know, maybe it does come down to that. Because if it is Stripling, it's not going to be a surprise because he's clearly been their third best starter all season long. But I just like the competitive nature of Berríos. I like the way he's thrown the ball at times over the past 6 weeks. You know, there's been those blips, and they're kind of unexplainable to pretty much everyone in this organization and Berríos as well. And I just look at the fact that, you know, it's going to be all hands on deck, and if Berríos doesn't have it in the first or second inning, Stripling's right up in that pen in a situation that he's been in before, and, you know, that's probably how I'd play it.
Scotty, do you think there'll be any change in the group? I mean, they seem like young guys. They like having fun. They put the jacket on. They throw sunflower seeds on each other's head after they get a homer. They're always laughing, and now it's playoff time. It's serious stuff. Does anything kind of change? Does George Springer set the tone, or do they just keep it as usual and let it fly?
Well, that's the question. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of the younger part of this group reacts to, you know, the atmosphere, the situation. You know, Bo Bichette talked about it this week. They did make the playoffs for that one game scenario in 2020, but, you know, you can't even compare it. There's no fans. You're down in Tampa. You know, pandemic's going on. It's just a totally different situation. So I think you do look at these young kids and see how they react, especially in that first game on Friday. And, yeah, you mentioned Springer. Springer and Matt Chapman are the leaders in this clubhouse. That's what they've been brought here for. You know, Chapman has really developed in the second half into, you know, one of the most important people in that clubhouse in terms of speaking up and saying things. And I think you look at the playoff experience of those two guys, and, yeah, this is why you spend the money. This is why you make that trade to get Chapman in March, because you know you need a diverse group and you need certain voices in certain situations. And I've talked about it a lot. Springer was paid for this time of year. He needs to produce and he needs to be a leader. And, you know, it's an interesting mix, and it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, they respond on Friday.
Yep, it's right around the corner. Enjoy it while you can, Scotty. It's go time Friday afternoon. Thank you for doing this, buddy.
All right, boys, take care.
Scott Mitchell, Jays reporter. A lot of people pointing out the 1-2-3 in Seattle is comparable to the 1-2-3 in Toronto. If it's Castillo, Manoa, Robbie Ray, Gausman, Logan Gilbert, whoever, Barrios or Stripling. But the talent is where there's discrepancies, because the Jays have more talent. They have game breakers in Springer and Vladdy and Bichette, Teoscar Hernandez, and that, and you got home field. So the Jays are expected to win. They should
win.
Kidding.
Tail of the
tape,
they should win.
It'll be disappointing if they don't.
Are they heavily favored or just slightly type of thing?
I haven't seen like an exact line. Listen, it's playoff baseball. They're it's not like Seattle's a terrible team that's lucky to be in. No one's going to be a huge favorite outside of maybe the Dodgers and who they could play in the first round. But they're favored, as they should be. The home teams would be favored across the board, and I think they're a better team than Seattle. But this is what you're building towards. This is why you bring in Chapman, Springer, and others. This is why you bring in Gausman, you know. It's all going to be on display this weekend down at the Rogers Center. Cole Beasley announced his retirement. Some people claiming he took a little backhanded shot at Brady on the way out with his announcement. We'll get into that a little bit. We got a content creators bit coming up in terms of the NHL, looking towards this upcoming season. Which player, team, coach, fan base, whatever, which storylines do you think will lead to the most content being created? We'll tell you more about that. We'll get into it in about 10 minutes. Jerry's percentages on the show today. Kevin Weeks on the show today. The Raptors are in action tonight. Jack Armstrong will join us. That and more still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so a couple things here on Tom Brady. One, I guess he missed practice today with a shoulder issue, a finger issue.
No, that was lawyers. That was dealing with some important stuff.
Yeah.
That feels like he may have had, so like, I don't know if it's a deposition necessarily, but something was going on for TB12.
Yeah. Right. And, when you're talking that big of celebrities, you're talking about, I mean, they both have enough money, you would think it'd be pretty simple where it's like, you take your cash and I'll take mine and we'll figure out what we're doing with the kids and let's make it what's best for them. But you got a lot of money and a lot of stuff, cars, houses.
Lots of property.
Yeah, but I mean, are they 100? Like, is it, what's being reported other than page 6 type of nonsense? Like, are they 100% done? Or is it, you know, like, what's
no, the that
the
only thing I've
release?
Seen reported is that they've hired divorce lawyers. But why would you do that? Like, who hires a divorce lawyer unless you're getting divorced?
No, I've seen the same reports. It's just, you know, everyone wants to pile on. You're right. It's going to be very public with what's going on in his life. It's just, you know, they might have to sort through a lot of stuff. He does look, and now I'm going to do it. He does look like he's just drained.
He looks like tired. He looks like he's got a lot going on. Yeah, he does.
He looks thin. He looks gaunt. He looks like
he looks stressed, Jamie.
He does. He looks like he has a lot going on in his life, and he does. You know, he openly admitted it. You know, he openly admitted it. I've got a lot of you know what going on in my life. Like, you know, it happens. But the 11 days.
He can't stop playing football, which. It's amazing when you think about it. Everything the guy's
accomplished. You love that, eh? You think that's hilarious.
I have an appreciation for it. Like, it's not my life. It's not my personal life. You know, I'm not advocating for anything.
No.
I'm just saying that this guy has done it. There is no reason for him to still be playing football.
No,
none.
He's addicted to that juice, man.
He can't
stop
playing.
That is his drug.
Yes, he can't stop playing. And I have such an appreciation for anyone with any passion – for anything that they do,
exactly.
You know, and that's ultimately what it is. Like he's addicted to football. He can't stop playing football. And that doesn't mean that's the reason why if they're getting divorced, it's because he went back. Who's to say if he retired, they wouldn't be doing this anyway. Who the hell knows what's going on with their personal lives? But this guy, let's say it was an ultimatum and he chose football. He chose football, right? And he's playing. And I don't know what this means for his future if he's going to play until he's 50 now, but I would think the door might be swinging open. But Cole Beasley, who just signed down there a couple weeks ago, I think he only played one game, maybe two games, and now he has announced his retirement, and he sent a text to, I think, Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network saying, quote, he is ready to be with his family after playing in 11 seasons, and it's time to be a full-time dad and husband, end quote. And some people are wondering if that was necessary considering what Tom Brady's going through right
now. I don't think that that guy knew Tom Brady. He would never, that's not a shot. Like he
no,
but it,
no
well, way.
People are
dude.
But that's what it is now. Everyone's connecting dots. I just did it 2 minutes ago going, yeah, he looks tired. He looks gaunt. He looks thin. Like he might have changed his diet. It might have nothing to do with the fact
but some little wide receiver with a rat tail and a mustache wouldn't be taking a pot shot at Tom Brady on the way out the door.
Hey, there was
there for less than 12 hours.
I thought there was a time when this Beasley character was a pretty, you know, loved figure around the Buffalo area.
He was in Buffalo. He had made big catches, man.
He was really good. Yeah, and his big thing was he didn't get vaccinated, and he was really
adamant,
forthright about it. Yes, and very public about it. But yeah, he was like really good player. He played in the league for a long time. He was down in Dallas. He was in Buffalo. 11 seasons in the NFL. That's a good run. For sure. Yeah. But, Brady, I guess, missed practice today. So we'll see what that means for him this upcoming weekend. But the NHL season is officially 1 week away. We're 1 week away from the real stuff. So Jerry, nice enough to join us. Jerry's percentage is in about an hour. Kevin Weeks in just over half an hour. But we figured, being a week out, this show is ultimately all about content. Like, that's how we operate. We're seeking out different content. And we're lucky that there's a lot of athletes, Tom Brady, Alec Manoah, Aaron Judge, etc., that offer up a lot to talk about. We figure we would project who or what we think will lead to a lot of talking and a lot of content this upcoming NHL season. We all have a three-pack. There may be some crossover, some overlapping. That's fine. But kind of how we see this rolling out, you know, once game one starts next Wednesday. So
sure.
You guys want to start the party off? Oh, do you want to generally
I always do,
kick
and
it off?
I would like to start because I think my list is all-encompassing of everything. I don't know how there could be one thing that's not on my list. Should I go three up to
please
one?
Do. Now you got me intrigued.
Go ahead, yeah.
Number three, Cale Makar. Maybe the second most dynamic skater slash player in the world. And it's going to be every night on SportsCenter. Kara and Lindsay are going to be saying, you got to see this goal that this guy scored or this play or this skating ability. He took the league by storm last year, and he's only going to get better. There's going to be a lot of Cale Makar coming up.
You think we'll be talking MVP with Cale Makar? Like, that's the next step, is the defenseman winning a heart.
We've talked about it before. Noodles played with a guy, Chris Pronger, that won the Norris and the MVP the same year. And you know what the deal is, Hayes. Half the battle is to get the chatter going with the people in the media. And as soon as 2 weeks into the season, somebody, the tweets start and the pieces start with, this guy's the best player in the league right now and it's not even close, that thing just snowballs and gains momentum and the chatter keeps on going. Last year, look at me and you, Hazy. We started the Matthews MVP chant last year and he won the MVP.
That's
anyway,
right.
60 goals had nothing to do with it.
No, it was us. Oh, and
it was
I started
us.
That.
Yeah, you guys.
Independent.
Connor McDavid at number two. I mean, he's going to score. I think that he could be off the charts way better than he's ever been this year. What is he, 26 or 27 years old?
Not even that old.
No,
yeah,
he's 25.
25, I think.
25 years old. Science says from 24 to 27 should be your best year. Watch out, because this guy might be so ridiculous and skate so fast and score goals that are completely bonkers, leading off SportsCenter just like my boy Cale Makar. I think McDavid could be so dangerous this year.
When does the bar get set, though? Like, at some point you reach it. Like, 25, if you look back on Gretzky, like 215 was his highest point season. Was he under 25? I know, but I'm using him as a comparison for a guy. Like, Gretzky hit the ground running like McDavid did, where I'm sure for, like, the first 5 years, you're like, wait till you see what he does next. At some point, it's got to peak. Like, at some point, you hit 92 goals in a season. You hit 215.
Like, is
what I just think in the next 3 years, starting this year, it could be bonkers off the charts. Not that the past hasn't been.
No, exactly.
Getting 100 points in 56 games is outrageous. But I think he could just blow the roof off the whole league this year.
Okay.
Let me just for context, you just said it, Hayes. It was 212. So he had about a 6 or 7 pack years where he went 212, 196, 205, 208, 215.
Mm-hmm. Like, and then he had a brutal season where he went down to 183.
183, 149, where there must have been an injury.
But like, there's the peak, right? 85, 86. It's amazing that a peak was eventually, you know, succeeded by 183, 149,
168. He was 24 years old when he did that.
So he peaked at 24. Gretzky peaked at 24. McDavid's 25. Like, is it possible this is, it doesn't mean he's going to drop off. I'm not suggesting that. But is McDavid going to grow by leaps and bounds?
I'm like, just what saying this year and mm-hmm. the next two after, it could be bonkers off the charts.
Yeah. Right.
Even better than what it's been in the past.
All right.
Number one, and there's only a number one answer in this questionnaire/content list, mm-hmm. and it's the Toronto Maple Leafs and everything that it encompasses. The GM, the goaltender they signed, the best goal scorer in the league, the players, the storylines, it's always front page. It's always what everyone is talking about. And no, I'm not doing this. This is not Leaf pom-poms. This is just truth.
Yeah,
they bring the content. They bring the content whether you like it or not. Whether the content is positive or negative, the Toronto Maple Leafs, like, they generally lead the way. It's a slam dunk. It's an automatic list.
That's a good list.
There's been two separate stories on cats of Toronto Maple Leafs. Jack Campbell and his cats, and Nazem Kadri and his cat.
And Jamie got traction.
Got a lot of traction. Got
lots
a lot of
videos.
Yep.
Videos.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. All you had to say is Nazem Kadri's cat.
Yeah. And Jack Campbell walking his cat. Yeah.
Exactly.
I read those articles.
I did.
I found them very intriguing, and I thought they were well written, and it was journalistic integrity.
Exactly.
On display. Like,
all right.
All right. Yeah, the Leafs. They are, I mean, uber content. Could you imagine if the equivalent of Jason Robertson was holding out as an RFA? Like, I'll bet you in Dallas, they're not, like, Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott have taken up 100%. I'll bet you no one in Dallas even knows he's not at camp. Like, there's a chance that no one in Dallas even knows he's not actually there yet. All right, Noodles, what do you have at number three for your content creators this upcoming season in the NHL?
Well, it's one coach in Calgary named Daryl Sutter who provides a lot of sound clips. I think their team is even better this year, just the way that they're built, but who knows? It's a pivotal year for a lot of organizations, I think Calgary included. But
Daryl always throw the whole team in there, Jamie. Like the players, the replacements,
everyone.
What Tree Living did. It's a good. It's a good.
Everything all Calgary, but it's led by Daryl. And you're seeing right now, early in preseason, every little comment is being picked apart. Well, that's a shot at Johnny Gaudreau. That's a shot at Matthew Tkachuk. To Foley comparison, one guy's won, the other guy hasn't done any. You know, like, it's just there's always a little bit of content there when it comes to Big D talking. So he's my number three.
Okay, I like it. I thought you were going with a coach down in Philly there for a while, but
I did leave him off my list.
He may come
up
at some point, I think, John Tortorella.
That's a good call.
Okay, who do you have at number two, or what do you have at number two?
I have Matthew Tkachuk. Because just like, you know, he's a guy who likes to be front and center. He's gone from being front and center in Calgary and having comments like, I hate the Edmonton Oilers. He gets to Florida right away and says, I hate the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I want to be a difference maker down here. He makes no bones about it. Like, he was respectful to the Calgary Flames and said, I'm not going to sign an extension. Here's a list of teams trade me. Like, that's... You know, it's kind of ballsy.
And yeah, it is.
He's put himself on the map that way. He's a flashy player. We love him. He's friend of the show. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a content creator when it comes to the way he plays and some of the comments that he makes in the media.
Number 19 on TSN Top 50's list. That's where he ended up.
100 points last year.
Matthew Tkachuk. Yeah, he did. Now, he's playing with Gaudreau and with Lindholm. I'm assuming he's playing with Barkov. I haven't seen the Lions down in Florida.
Yeah.
But... he had a great year. He's a great player. And, yes, he is probably single. He better be a content creator down there. For that kind of money in that market, It's tough to get loud in Florida. Yeah. Like, not a lot of people pay attention. It'll say something about him if the league's buzzing about Tkachuk. Consider, it's easy to do it in Calgary. It's another thing to try to create it down in Florida. All right, Nunes, what do you have at number one?
At number one, I'm doing the organization, the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, there should be. I know it's noisy in Toronto just because expectations, Edmonton's all that. We just talked about Calgary. What do you got for me, Winnipeg? What do you got for me, Mark Scheifele? You know, Blake Wheeler, captaincy gone. Like, you know, this is the last straw for that core, for that group. Can they win? Can they get to the playoffs? Can they do what we I'll say myself. They're a team that is, I've chosen them to be, you know, one of Canada's best. They're a team that's going to go deep in the playoffs. A couple years ago, they beat Edmonton. Then they get swept by Montreal. You know, they had a run in 2018, but I expect more from them. Fell flat on their face last year. So what do you got for me this year? That's what all eyes will be on.
There if they have a garbage start. It'll get really greasy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well,
lots
very
of noise
loud.
There.
Very loud. Okay, I like it. Yeah, listen, thinking outside the box, and I'm kind of doing the same thing here. Like, obviously, you know, the Leafs, the Jets, the Flames, it's going to be a lot of content on that front. But in terms of where I see maybe this show going, other shows talking about the NHL, I think the Matthews versus McDavid content is going to be loud this year because now they've both won Hart trophies. McDavid is going to be ranked number one. I think it's the consensus he's number one. I think Matthews is closing in on a consensus number two player in the league. If it's not him, it's Makar, Draisaitl, McKinnon. There's a couple other guys. But what these two have defined is no one can score points like McDavid. No one can score goals like Matthews. And they both play in Canada. They're both young superstars. And they're both on really good teams. So I think Matthews versus McDavid all year, it's always big when the two play each other. But I think just tracking them day in, day out, going back and forth against each other. I think McDavid would like 50-plus goals. I think Matthews would love to hit 120 points, you know, and I think you're going to see a battle that just continues to grow. And I think it's Matthews clearly chasing McDavid, but Matthews has a lot to puff his chest out with, right? Sure. He's the reigning Hart Trophy winner. He's got 60 goals. So I think the two of them are going to battle all season. I have the Vegas Golden Knights at two. Because, for a couple of different reasons. One, our boy Jack Eichel is back and healthy. And you talk about pressure. This guy had a cop-out for years in Buffalo because they were Buffalo. They sucked. They were awful. Weren't expected to win. Then he disappears because he's had surgery, and he demanded it out of Buffalo and a different type of surgery, and Vegas concedes to that. Now he comes back. He's healthy. They have no goalies, but they have high expectations. And I think Eichel's got to be a superstar. They got a new coach in Bruce Cassidy who's a really good coach, but something went wrong in Boston on the way out. Like, something happened there that Cassidy had to go. And I think Vegas, for such a young team, I'll give them credit. They garner your attention. Like, the way they play, the expectations, what happens in net there. Again,
oh,
I think there's
God.
A lot
like,
to
who
it.
Who is stopping pucks there? Like, that could be the death of them all.
They traded for Aiden Hill, so it's kind of a three-pack there. But it's, you know, Larry Brassois is injured, and you've got Aiden Hill, and you've got Logan Thompson. And Logan Thompson
sounds like he's the one right now, isn't
he's
it?
A good, you know what? He's a good young goalie, free agent out of Calgary, 26, a lefty goalie, a little bit, you know, unique, big guy, got skill, but... Man, he played a handful of games last year. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, go play on a really good – I think they're a really good team, but they were second in man games lost last year. Like, they had – everywhere you turned, it was injuries and inconsistencies and a weird trade that didn't happen, right? The Dadanoff to Anaheim and just they had a bad season last year.
And they'll
year.
Be active too, right? Like, that's what the GM does down there. That's the mandate from ownership. They'll be making trades. They'll be playing games with 15 players. So it's not going to stop. And this one, a little bit outside of the box thinking, but I think the tanking for Connor Bedard is going to be a chat that takes up a lot of oxygen. I don't know if he's going to reach Matthews, McDavid, Sid status in terms of hype. I don't get that impression. But I think he's going to torch the WHL. I think there's a lot of teams that are already tanking. And it's a reality of the NHL that there's every year there's seven or eight teams dying to bottom out. And when you have one prominent guy, especially if it's a Canadian kid, who will be at the World Juniors in Halifax and likely dominating that tournament, I think you're going to see a lot of teams throwing players overboard. And I think the draft lottery, that show is thoroughly entertaining. It will feel a lot like it did in 15, in 16, where waiting to see, you know, which teams are in on him. I think it'll be electric all year. And I don't think anyone's going to touch him for top spot. It's going to be pillar to post, Connor Bedard. And I think he's a name that everyone's going to know before he even steps foot in the NHL.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a big part of the chat this year.
I agree.
So, yeah. Get ready for it. Tanking for Bedard. You got to come up with
something. Is he really a kid? As good as he is, Hayes, is he gonna put you 3 years down the road like these other superstars where it's like flip it around and start winning?
They're saying he's a superstar.
I think they're saying he's close to generational, like close. Like not generational is McDavid, Matthews, Sid, correct? Would Ovi be there? Like, I mean.
Yes, of course.
Ovi too?
Yeah.
So, but like Bedard has the makings of more kind of leaning on that side than, you know, the other
side. I think
at
a minimum it's
the
equivalent of
like
what Kane was, Tavares was.
That's a good point. What did you guys think of this cat for Montreal, number 20?
He's got to go to the minors.
Yeah. It's a project.
I think he's got to start. Like, he's got ability. I did watch the game last night and even the night before. He's got ability. Like, I think he's going to be a really good player. He's big, strong. He can move for a big guy. His skating stride is a bit weird. He reminds a little bit of, like, Barkov's, kind of upright and kind of long stride. But I think he looks raw. Like, it just
is. He does. He's not NHL ready right now, I'll tell you that. Like, he's falling down. He shows flashes. He's getting crushed a few times. I've noticed him just exposing, like, opening himself up, and he's getting rocked out there, which is a dangerous game. I don't know. He doesn't look ready to play, which I did not think I would be saying that right now at this particular time.
I mean, there's no shame in playing in the minors. You know, there's no shame in getting some seasoning at that age. He's 18. Like, let him play another year. Like, Mitch Marner's a superstar. He went back to junior. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and now that's a – they've got the luxury with this kid because he doesn't have to go back to junior. He can play in the AHL.
Yeah,
he,
go sell some tickets up the road in LaFalle.
I think they're in a really good spot there. The expectation is not they're not going to win. Mm-hmm. So go develop a young kid. Let him get – he's going to play NHL games this year, I think. I think they'll burn a year off his contract.
They might. Yeah, they might be able to do that.
But I don't think it's a situation where he plays 72 games and starts the first 10 in Lavelle or vice versa. I think he's a guy who's going to get a lot of games this year at both levels and just get experience. But last night he didn't – I didn't like his back-to-back game. The night before he was better, for sure.
Yeah, he's a project, which is – it sounds strange with a first overall pick, but
– really does.
That's what comes – sometimes that's just the way it goes. You know, is you're not like first overall picks. You think of Sid, McDavid, et cetera, but there's a lot of them that just are not projected to be great, or they're projects. So we'll get into it more with Kevin Weeks. He's coming up in 20 minutes. Jerry's percentage is still to come. Some Hockey Canada news that is just coming across the wire. We'll tell you about that next. All right, so I'm just seeing online that Tim Hortons, who has been, I would say, the predominant sponsor of Hockey Canada for a long, long time, among many other, you know, corporate sponsors throughout the country. But Tim Hortons has informed Hockey Canada that it is deeply disappointed in the progress the organization has made to restore the trust of Canadians and has told Hockey Canada this week that it will not advertise in men's hockey programming for the 2022-2023 upcoming season. That includes the World Juniors. So it will continue to support women's, para, and youth hockey, but not on the I guess, men's side of things and the national side of things.
Look, it just seems like, and I don't know if any three of us are informed of who's responsible for what or what arrangements, who at Hockey Canada was doing what, but it seems like these sponsor types, until they make change, they're not going to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like. When they keep coming out saying, we believe in this group, it seems like these corporations are saying, okay, well, we don't believe that, so we're pulling out. That seems to be what's happening.
I agree with this. It's pure stubbornness at this point, too, at the hierarchy of Hockey Canada. It's pure stubbornness.
Two things. I think they need to get their house in order. I'm talking Hockey Canada, and that means if it's a clean sweep or whatever, I don't know what that is. And secondly, like, I don't know if people have done a deep dive, but taken a read of their path of how they've tried to change things. The mantra, like, it, they should have done that years ago. But bottom line is they've got to get their house in order. And it is, a lot of people are still pissed at them. And until they do that, they are going to lose sponsorship. They're going
to
be...
Well, and the thing is about this, you know, the again, the hierarchy that continues to speak, whether it's in Ottawa or, you know, anywhere in the country representing Hockey Canada, this argument that without the hierarchy, you know, Hockey Canada would be in shambles. You can't just get rid of everyone because then the lights won't turn on in rinks around the country. Obviously, it's incredibly insulting and completely bogus. But if these sponsors are now pulling out and not offering up money to the program, then you're furthermore hurting the program. Like,
right.
Just the people in place that remain and that will not move on for whatever reason, and obviously they have their reasons, now it is directly going to affect the money pouring in that will help the people that actually need the help throughout the country, yeah, who want to play hockey under, yeah, the Hockey Canada umbrella. So it's a double-edged sword on that front.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point,
even
it just
people,
seems inevitable. They're all going to go anyway.
And yeah, even if it seems like, even if there's some people that were on board when none of this was happening that aren't responsible, I don't believe that anybody cares. They're like, you're a part of this group and you've got to be gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
because
the
there's
thing,
some
though.
People that just took the job, I believe, this year.
July
it's just
1st,
like, okay, I wasn't responsible for it. I don't know if people like Tim Hortons are they're saying we don't. You got, everyone's got to go.
Well,
and
exactly.
I think until they get that, that's kind of,
and without
be the
every
way to deal,
every month or so, there's more reporting coming on. You know, this most recent report by the Globe that there was another fund that wasn't disclosed. Well, of course people are going to react negatively to that. Of course that's going to be on you, and you're going to get blowback. Hour two coming up. Kevin Weeks, Jerry's Percentages, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.